Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Guest co-host Marie Garofalo gives us an inside look at the D23 Expo. Ashley Madison rocks the Dogger's world, and Lindsay Lohan allegedly destroys an Italian wedding. All that and more next.
Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting here with Marie Garofalo.
Hello.
Longtime friend of mine and pop culture aficionado and communications associate at the Walt Disney Company.
That's right.
Marie, look at that title.
It's great to be here.
Marie, you've been working over there since we met. In fact, we met at the Walt Disney Company.
We did. That is correct. About 5 years ago.
Wow.
Just crazy.
Yeah, that was like when I was like, all the luster had been here. It was so shiny and bright, and everything was so new. And where did we meet? Was it an intern mixer? Was that
exactly.
It?
Yeah, it was an intern mixer. And I think there was some type of cupcake decorating contest, if I remember correctly. And I just heard your voice, I think. And I said, okay, he's not from here. And I grew up in New Jersey. And so, you know, I'm always listening for people who sound like they might be from somewhere else. And sure enough, you're from the East Coast as well. And it was an instant bond. And yeah, we've been friends ever since, which is awesome.
Yeah, we've really done a good job at staying in touch. You know, we haven't really ever worked together.
We did. Yeah. I think, you know, LA is an interesting place because you could live like only, you know, 10 miles from someone, but with traffic and just the way the city works, never see them again. So I think it's been great how we've been able to keep in touch and really put in the effort to get together. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm so glad we have.
I know. Me too. So I saw pictures on Facebook. I said, oh my God, I want to talk about this with her. You were at the D23 Expo in Anaheim, California. What was it, like recently?
2 weeks ago. Yeah, exactly.
So what was it like to be on the floor there? Had you been before?
I had been before.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started working for the Walt Disney Company in 2010. The first expo that they had was in 2009, and it's every other summer. So I was a part of the expos in 2011, 2013, and this one in 2015. D23 is a fan club for all Disney fans, you know, anywhere. And it's D for Disney, of course, and 23 represents 1923, the year the company was founded. So that is where the name comes from. And the expo is just, it's been getting bigger every time. You know, I've heard people describe it as like the Comic-Con of Disney, which, you know, I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad way to describe it, but I mean, it's basically just you get the biggest Disney fans and people dress up and get so into it, and they have all types of panels and presentations and big announcements that come out at the expo. And so it's a 3-day weekend of just, you know, it's just heaven for the biggest Disney fans.
So you were on the ground there. What were some things that you saw?
So I was placed mostly in the Disney Consumer Products Pavilion. That's the segment of the company that I work for. There was this new feature to the expo this year with trading cards. And so there were these different stations where fans could run around and see and pick up a trading card from a trading card representative. And so I was designated at this one location for most of the weekend and helped to hand out these cards. And of course, as typical Disney fans, people got very passionate about it, wanting to collect all of the cards. I think there were 30 that were given out throughout the course of the weekend. So, you know, it's just fun to interact with people and talk to people.
Is that similar to the pin trading?
Exactly, yeah.
God, those people with those pins take them so goddamn seriously. Those people love those pins.
Yeah.
There was a line to pin trade longer than it was to get on one of those roller coasters.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
So the pin trading people take very seriously. And I think, you know, just with the nature of the expo, the fact that these trading cards were free and the excitement of an exclusive to the expo, people got very into it.
You know, obviously a lot came out in the press of what news was broken and what announcements were made. So a few interesting things. What really kind of struck you the most?
Oh, well, of course, the announcement of Star Wars Land at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. That was huge. I mean, as soon as that news broke, I saw it all over the place in the news and all over my Facebook feed. So that will definitely be very exciting.
That was the highlight for me too, because I feel like Disneyland doesn't get as much attention. And it you know, of course they got California Adventure and then things kind of slowed down to a little bit. So I was waiting because I knew something had to be coming. So I
yeah,
was waiting.
Something big, yeah. Definitely. I mean, that was the same thing with Cars Land a few years ago. I think that opened in 2012. Yeah, I mean, anytime there's like a new area to the parks, it just brings this total resurgence and, you know, very exciting to try out all the new features.
Well, this area is going to be really big. It's a couple acres.
Yeah.
And are they taking out the Toontown area or they're expanding?
I read a few different things about location. I honestly have no idea. I guess once they start building, I'll see.
Well,
you know, I don't work directly in the parks and resorts area, so I'm not totally sure. So I will just be surprised with everyone else once I see. Yeah.
Toy Story was another thing that made news. Apparently, they announced that it's going to be a love story now. So that sounds cute.
I saw that between Woody and Bo Peep, which is very interesting.
I have very high hopes because that third one was really,
really
good.
Oh, so good, yeah.
So I know I trust them with this, you know, so that'll be good to see. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, so anything else you want to talk about with regards to that experience?
I will just say I got to sit in on one of the presentations, which was very exciting, and it was called the Frozen Fandemonium, and it was with Bobby Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez, who are the husband-wife duo who won the Oscar last year for Let It Go for the best original song. And I think Bobby Lopez is like the youngest winner to get an EGOT, you know, the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony Award. And so they were there. They did all of the music for Frozen and they talked about, you know, how all the songs came to be. They talked about songs that were rejected, that didn't make the final cut, and they played clips of them. And then you're like, oh yeah, that it's actually good that that wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
And just their process of writing and everything. And then they had surprise guests show up, and Kristen Bell came. She's the voice of Anna.
She came out and sang.
Yep. And Josh Gad came out.
See, I don't like him. I could have missed that. I went to the bathroom.
But yeah, he sang In Summer, you know, his Olaf song, and John Lasseter was there. And it was great. I mean, it was just a really cool presentation to sit in on, and at the end they made it look like it was snowing with like little pieces of paper all around the venue, and I loved it. So I totally get the hype and why people love going to the expo, and seeing a presentation like that. You know, it really shows what a special company it is, and I had a lot of fun.
I mean, they have so many properties that to put something like that together, they don't have to reach too far to be able to bring it all together,
right?
You know,
exactly.
So, yeah, I saw there were a lot of TV people there. Some more represented than others. That's what I would have been interested in, just to see who showed up. And I mean, it was really like a who's who of TV and film.
Definitely,
a lot of people walking around, I bet.
Well, that was the thing too that was funny is, you know, I'm not privy to, you know, like seeing what celebrities are coming, but then afterwards word will kind of travel and you'll hear that Johnny Depp was there and Ellen DeGeneres was there, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, here I am handing out the trading cards and like these amazing celebrities are just right down the hall, which is, you know, very exciting for everyone,
right?
But it's like, I want to see everybody. But I'm really glad that it was such a successful event. So
yeah, well, I know that must have been a challenge for you not to see those celebs, because I know how much you love celebrities.
So
not too surprised. Let's talk about one celebrity that recently got married after a questionable 3 years engagement. Your girl, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about her.
Finally walked down the aisle.
Finally walked down the aisle in her backyard. with a Muppet cake. I think that, you know, the most surprising thing is, you know, they got married during the week. I think it was like a Wednesday or Thursday night. And how, like, really under the radar it was.
Yeah.
You know, for years it was just so, like, you know, Jennifer Aniston, will she ever find love again? And will she ever be happy again? And I remember when she dated Vince Vaughn, and then it was, like, so sad when they broke up, and, you know, that she would be alone forever. And I don't know if it was the long engagement with Justin Theroux, but it just seemed to be not, you know, as big of a story.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, here's some paparazzi photos of the backyard, and there, oh, it looks like there's, you know, a pastor, and that's it.
Yeah, the narrative is over. I mean, they wrote that girl to be some cat lady who has no future with a man for so long. Someone so successful and so recognizable, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
The way they painted her was really unfair. But, you know, now that, you know, she's no longer, you know, a spinster.
It's like, I mean, okay, a spinster. So, meanwhile, she's like so gorgeous. Yeah, and yeah, we always knew she'd be fine. But,
yeah, but I mean, that's how they made it. So that's why now, when, you know, she's in this good position, it's not celebrated because they can't keep painting her into this corner.
Right. Exactly. I'm glad that she's happy, and, you know, that she is married now and doing her thing.
But I've always given her and Justin the side eye because I'm like, wait a minute, almost three years of engagement. What do you think is going on there? They blame it on busy schedules and having to find the right time. What do you think?
I mean, it's a long, yeah, that's a long engagement, definitely. You know, it could be busy schedules. It could also just be them wanting to get married on their own schedule, right? I mean, a kind of a little bit maybe a dig at the media and everyone like speculating when they'll get married. And then, I mean, it kind of worked, right? By the time they did get married, no one cared anymore,
right?
I feel like when people get engaged and they get married and it all happens like within a year, it's still so much hype. And, you know, I think they just wanted to wait for all that attention to die down. And then, you know, Brad and Angelina got married last year. And so when Angelina had the dress, remember, with all the kids' drawings on them. So I know that got it. Yeah. So that got a ton of attention. So, you know, I think they just like went under the radar. But honestly, with all the attention that they had gotten, it probably worked out for the best, and they got to just enjoy their day.
How long do you give it until we walk into the grocery store and we see that, you know, there's Trouble in Paradise and they're on the cover of Us Weekly?
Oh, I mean, probably soon. Always, right? Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because some couples, it'll be like such a big story and then it'll just die down, and then some of them, it'll be a big story and you don't want to believe it, but then, like, you know, Ben and Jen and Miranda and what's his name?
You'll know before
Blake Shelton, of course. Yeah. I was like, wait, I'm like jeans and plaid shirt.
And Miss Piggy and Kermit and other casualties.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, the media, I mean, even like, right, Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi, like all these couples are in the news all the time. And then there's some that it seems like they're doing great, and then all of a sudden they're splitting, like, like Gavin and Gwen, devastated about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I saw your Facebook post about that. I was like, damn.
So sad. Yeah. I mean, Ben and Jen, I wasn't as shocking because, remember a couple years ago he was giving, like, the acceptance speech at the Oscars, and he was like, marriage is a lot of work, but it's the best kind of work, and he backtracked and everything, and that kind of raised a red flag. Like, I feel like if you're really happy, that wouldn't be the first thing that you would say to your spouse. So that was, you know, kind of a red flag.
He must have had foot and mouth with that one.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. It was like so.
But also, like, how typical to, like, have the affair with the nanny. I mean, Jude Law did it first. Let's be real, Ben. I mean, that's just so, so typical, like, not surprising at all. So anyway, but Jennifer Garner with that beautiful face and those dimples, she'll be just fine.
She'll be fine.
I have no doubt.
Well, I don't know if this next marriage is going to be fine. After the Ashley Madison account was revealed, Josh Duggar is back in the news. God, I feel like we were just talking about him not too long ago.
I know. Okay, so it's funny. I had just gotten, I love reading People magazine. Shout out to People. Read it every week, and I think it was last week's issue or 2 weeks ago, Jill and Jessa Duggar, who we both know are Josh's two of his younger sisters, and you know, they were victims of the whole molestation issue that happened. And the cover of People just said, like, moving on or something like that. And the big article was about, you know, 3 months after this story came out and how everyone's doing. And that must have been published and released right before this whole Ashley Madison thing broke, because all of the articles are just focusing on what happened in May and nothing is talking about Ashley Madison. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, they must have gone to print right before this happened.
You know, someone was pissed.
Yeah, so definitely it's not 3 months later and everyone's moving on, because now they're right back where they were. So, I mean, this is just insane.
So they're calling Josh the biggest hypocrite. He actually, he's calling himself the biggest hypocrite ever. I mean, there's this awful website where you go, AshleyMadison.com, which I don't even want to promote, and I'm not promoting or endorsing. This is absolute crap and low as you can get. But their logo, or their mantra, I guess, is life short, have an affair with 37 million people, men, subscribed and paying. Now, this guy, Josh, paid up to $1,000, allegedly, in fees. I don't, you know, he definitely was on there with two accounts, but, you know, the $1,000 is alleged. Who knows? He served as the director for Family Research Council.
Yeah, exactly. A very conservative, ultra-conservative group, in Washington, D.C. That's right.
So it kind of goes back to what a lot of people believe of all these conservative people to be: closet fools, closet whatever. I mean, it just doesn't help anyone's case when you've got a classic example of this man behaving this way and paying to even get a guaranteed woman to sleep with him. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty lousy.
Definitely. So I will say this. I mean, I have no problem admitting I was a huge fan of 19 Kids and Counting. I loved that show. I guess loved, past tense. Loved that show. I love watching TLC. Like, I love the shows where you just look at people kind of in these extraordinary circumstances. I love Little People, Big World. And then there was My Little Couple and Seven Little Johnstons. I mean, I watch all of those shows. I love My Giant Life, which is about tall people, like 7 foot tall people. And like, how do they go on airplanes? Like, I'm just fascinated by these people in these extraordinary circumstances. And so I loved following 19 Kids and Counting, and I loved the courting and the marriages and how all the whole family would be able to travel to China together, and how they did it in such an organized way with all those people in an airport. Like, I really liked following the show. With that being said, I think this is just so tragic, and just the whole situation is awful. The whole molestation scandal that broke a few months ago, you know, is just terrible. And I can't imagine how that's affected Jill and Jessa, Josh's family, the other victims that were involved. But this Ashley Madison thing is just at a totally different level, because this is just Josh, like, man, he really screwed himself over. I mean, this is just on a totally different level. I will say, with the courting and with their, you know, ultra-conservative views, courting is not, like, typically dating. This is, you know, what I've learned from watching the show. It's kind of dating with the intent to marry. So you're allowed to give side hugs, but any dates you go on, you have to be chaperoned. So they're never allowed to go on dates by themselves.
And now, what is a side hug?
A side hug is just like a one-armed hug. Like, you're not allowed to have, like, body-to-body pressed against each other. Okay. So just side hugs. No kissing, of course, which of course means no other nonsense. Right. and then chaperone dates. So you don't even get to have, like, one-on-one time with this person. When you get engaged, you can hold hands. And you save your first kiss for the altar. So not until you are husband and wife do you get to kiss. And, you know, X, Y, and Z.
How do you know if you have any sexual chemistry with this person?
Exactly. So I think that that's the bigger thing. You know, you know, of course, not one to judge, and people do have their religious beliefs, and if you want to, you know, save yourself until you get married, that's fine. But I will say, there is something, you have to be compatible on all levels with a person, and there's something to be said of why 37 million men are on Ashley Madison. I mean, I think that that's, of course, there's, you know, a bigger issue and a bigger conversation. I will say that it did come out in the news the other day that Snooki's husband had an account. Total opposite spectrum from the Duggars. But yes, Gianni Laval had an account also. And then Snooki was spotted not wearing her wedding ring. I mean, they just they just got married recently. But she claimed, you know, she lost a lot of weight and she looks amazing. She's very, very thin now. But she said that her rings are too big and she's getting them resized. So we'll see. Yeah. But, you know, it could be literally, I mean, from Snooki to the Duggars, it doesn't get much more, you know, separate than that. And they're, you know, and this website has really affected a lot of people in this whole breach and everything. Yeah, so very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure people do a lot worse things. There are websites that promote a lot more awful things, but that really is just so low.
That's
really like below someone's feet, gross. And to go on there and pay, and then they, there's even a feature where you could pay to have all of your data erased, like a clean sweep or whatever like that. And even that didn't protect anybody. So you gotta be so careful, and it's really disgusting, if, especially if you're newly married and you're bringing a child into the world within the last year and you're on there. What do you expect?
Not great. Not great. Exactly. And oh, as one more funny side note about the Duggars, because of course I just love reading everything about them that I can, but this porn star came out as saying that she was one of the women, I guess, that had sex with Josh and that he liked it rough. And I don't know if this is too much for this podcast. You can cut this out. But This is the good stuff. That he liked it rough and it was like she almost felt like endangered.
Oh, God.
Like he, And,
where
you know,
did he learn that with giving side hugs for 10 years?
Think that's right. I think it's that you're so like repressed and then you have the opportunity to do something like that. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, just doesn't totally shock me reading something like that.
He's a pig.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. Well, I want to talk about my favorite. I can't believe it's taken me 4 episodes to get to her, but we're going to talk about my girl, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, let's talk about her.
She may have fled the West Coast. She may have fled the United States, but she's still making mistakes. She's out there showing out, being a pain in the ass. She attended this wedding in Florence. It was like a 4-day wedding affair with these millionaires over there. And she, her behavior was all over the place. She apparently DJ'd one of the many parties they had. She was allegedly out of it completely. She got angry because someone took a photo at this party and she started speaking an English accent and got upset.
Shocking, really. I mean, she seems like if you invited her to your wedding, you would expect that she would just be calm and pleasant.
At the nun at the
event. Very under the radar celebrity guest,
So, and she kept, my favorite part is that she kept playing that song, The Boy Is Mine, over and over and over.
I saw that.
She's supposed to be a DJ. She's playing the same song.
Which is a great song.
Oh, but, but once is enough. Oh,
yeah, totally random,
So she, a mess as usual, and then with this, the thing that gets me is there's a million excuses that come along with all this. Then she goes to this the wedding ceremony herself. Sources say she was totally checked out and over the ceremony even before it started. She, what was she doing at the ceremony?
I read that she was painting her nails. I don't even understand, like, how that's possible. I don't, what, she just, like, threw nail polish in her clutch and just was like, I'm going to just start doing my nails at this wedding.
Anyone would have done that the day before, the morning prior, like,
you think
what?
Maybe she'd be able to go and find a nail salon or something in Florence. Maybe we should Yelp Florence nail salons and just see if, you know, there were options for her.
Yeah, but, very kind of you to offer help to at least somebody is. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I read about, then she claimed that she was drugged.
She was drugged through a drink, which means she was drinking alcohol. So, okay. Then she claimed Then she claims that she had jewelry stolen from her at the wedding.
Always with the jewelry being stolen. Right? This was the thing a few years ago with the necklace. Yeah.
And then she showed up in this dress. Now, this dress is very controversial because it looks white in the photo. She says, and it's Elizabeth Taylor's dress. The dress has a long slit up one leg, so it looks like she's really kind of, you know, showing off and upstaging the bride. She claims that the dress is like a light pink color, and it didn't show up pink in the photo.
Okay.
And then the press is calling it an ivory dress. So, of course, there's a story behind it all. Including, she's gonna bring Liz Taylor into it. I think she did Liz Taylor no favors already in life. So it's like, what a mess. This girl, everywhere she goes, I love her because she's constantly bringing the entertainment value. I don't believe for a minute she was drugged.
Unknowingly. This is just Lindsay being Lindsay. And I just wish, I mean, it's been going on now for so many years. I just wanted to stop. Yeah. I mean, it's just now it's just become, it's so sad. It's just so, like, it's, she's, ugh, like, I can't even talk about it. She's just such a mess.
I used to think it was sad, and I watched that Lindsay documentary on Owen, which was juicy and all that. But this girl's been given opportunity after opportunity. I don't really feel too bad for her anymore. Mm-hmm. She's, not only has she been given opportunity, but she's been given the tools, the best of people to surround her and help her through this. She treated them terribly. So it's like, look, she clearly doesn't want to do anything than what she's already doing. So I'm going back to just enjoying it from an entertainment perspective because she doesn't care as much as we care.
Yeah.
So at this point, whatever.
I loved that OWN documentary. And I know that we had talked about it before, but oh my gosh, it was amazing. But, you know, it was just the craziest thing. I mean, if you remember in that one episode when she's moving into the apartment in New York and then the moving company brought all the boxes up to her apartment and then she said it was too crowded, so then they had to bring all the boxes back down. It's like, that's what a moving day is. It's chaos, right? And then you unpack everything. And then she went through her closet and was throwing stuff out, but she was living above like a vintage store. So she went into the vintage store after just having gotten rid of lots of clothes to buy new clothes that she did not need. Ugh, Lindsay.
Her and her excuses just are one of my favorite parts because it's like this story is layered with so many things. And then she's going to throw in the jewelry being stolen. So then she puts there's the victim card on the table now. It's always the same thing with her. It's like a combination of chaos.
But
there's always something in there. In the cycle of the cyclone of chaos, there's something in there that we're supposed to feel bad for with her. And that kind of is supposed to be the redeeming quality in the situation. And then she gets up and moves on to the next mess.
Exactly.
I love her. I love her mother. Her mother's one of my favorite people. I can't get enough of her. I guess the mother now is going to be on a reality show on VH1. And New York, my all-time favorite from I Love New York and Flavor of Love, and her mother are going to be on there. So you can bet we'll be covering that at Grant's Rants. Can't wait to discuss it.
And what was her mother's name again? Dinah?
Sister Patterson. Oh, no. That was New York.
No.
She's top of mind. But
Dina Lowe. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I know. unknown celebrity mom, Dina Lohan.
My favorite. The orange Oprah, as Perez used to refer to her as.
So funny.
Oh, man. I just love her, and I hope that we have a lot more coverage of Lohans on future rants to come.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
Hot topics have to wait. We're now focusing on Marie. I have questions for you.
Can't wait.
I want to have a little, you know, one-on-one chat. I feel like we know each other really well.
We do.
But there's stuff that I don't know. I'm going to ask those questions and we'll fill in the blanks along the way. So I want to know. So, of course, East Coast girl.
Yes.
Being so close to New York, did you ever, as a child, like imagine you just end up in New York working there? Was that kind of the trajectory in your mind, or did you always want to go somewhere else?
It's funny. So I grew up in northern New Jersey, Randolph, holla. And, you know, I went into New York a lot when I was young. I love Broadway and, you know, of course, always had an affinity for New York because it was, you know, only a 45-minute drive away. But I will say, like, when I got to college, and then, of course, I watched, like, every episode of Sex and the City, you know, I went to college and I you know, was in classes with people and they just knew, like, they were going to end up in New York. And I was never really like that. I knew I loved entertainment and, you know, wanted to work somewhere in that industry, but I was never like, I'm going to work in the big city. Like, I was never like that. Yeah. So I didn't really have that set in my mind. And I'd vacationed a couple times in California with my family. But, you know, I meet people sometimes and they're like, oh, I'm moving to L.A. Like, that is where I need to be. And I was never, like, dead set on moving to any particular city. But I was dead set on, you know, following an amazing opportunity. And in 2010, I graduated from college. I went to Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania. And through an alumni connection, actually got an interview with Disney Consumer Products and got a call. And they asked if I could move to L.A. in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so this was right after I graduated from school. So
did anything hold you back when you heard 2 weeks?
It was a little overwhelming because I actually had started working on the East Coast. I had gotten a job. And so just the whole thought of resigning, like I'd never formally resigned from a job before. And I'd only been there like 2 months at that point at that job. So I actually Googled like resignation letters to figure out how to write a resignation letter. And then, you know, it was more the logistics of just, you know, moving stuff out of the apartment I had just gotten. I had to terminate the lease on that apartment. I had to ship my car. I had to get a ticket. Where was I going to live when I got to LA? There were a lot of things like that, but I will tell you that, you know, the economy really tanked in 2008, and so this was 2010, so it was still kind of in a rough spot. And, you know, got the call from Disney. I mean, there was no question in my mind. Like, I instantly accepted the job. I knew that I wanted to go. And it is true that, like, you figure it out. You kind of just go into that mode of, like, well, either way, I'm starting my job in 2 weeks. So somehow I'm getting out to California and making it work.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It was the best decision I ever made.
Mm-hmm. How did you find your way in this city? Like, it took me, I had to make a lot of wrong turns, figuratively and for real, behind the wheel, and just had to kind of figure it out as I went along.
Mm-hmm.
I was lost a lot around here, and then have to kind of like turn around and, you know, use the GPS. And that's how I learned how to drive here, by making a ton of mistakes. How did you get comfortable in this big city?
So I will say I am a Google Maps junkie. I love geography. I've always been a geography fan. I have a goal of getting to all 50 states. And even since I was young, like, I remember we had like a contest to name all the counties in New Jersey, and I won the contest. Like, I've always been a big fan of that. And I remember when I started here, and people would like mention the freeways, and that's also a difference, East Coast to West Coast, with the, you know, the 10, the 5, the 405,
yeah,
and all the freeways out here.
We come from the highways.
Yeah, the highway system, and you would just take, you know, 287 to 78 to get to, you know, where I went to college.
Yeah.
So just different. But I remember, like, people would have happy hours or invite me places after work, and I would just Google Map everything and really look and, like, memorize where I'm going. I think it always drives me a little bit crazy when I get in the car with someone and they've lived here for a while and they're like, I have no idea where we're going. And, you know, it's like, what do you mean? Like, you can look it up. I mean, now you have, like, a GPS and a phone and a computer. I mean, you have so many devices and ways to find things. I'm also a tough person with that kind of stuff. I'm, like, a little bit, like, no patience. But I just,
come
like,
on,
I
yeah.
just really looked also because I think I was out here by myself. I was like, no one is going to hold my hand and, like, teach me how to get somewhere. So I still do it to this day. Like, even meeting you here today in our undisclosed location. You know, I just looked on Google Maps and I knew the basic area of where to go. But I just find that it helps because, like, LA is just run by the freeway system. Mm-hmm. I mean, just everywhere you go, you could drive 15 minutes and be on four different freeways. Easily. So you just like have to know the area and the location. So from that perspective, that's kind of how I like quickly transitioned. Then about 8 months after I moved here, I met my boyfriend, and he's a Southern California native. So that also helped because, you know, he knows the area very well. So that was good. But then also, like, when I was moving out here, I talked to people in human resources about where to live, right? Because I knew that traffic is a big topic of conversation and, you know, a big issue in the city. And I didn't want to live really far away from my office. And I was, you know, brand new to the city. And I didn't want to spend, you know, 4 hours a day in my car or something crazy like that. So my commute is really, it's still not bad. But that helped, just asking questions and kind of, you know, figuring out the best way to navigate. Because, with the public transportation here, you know, it's not New York. It's definitely a different type of city, and everyone's in their car. And so you just kind of have to learn how to navigate.
Well, I know for a fact you enjoy living out here in the Hollywood experience.
I do.
We have gone to a few award shows where we've seat filled.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. And we saw a lot of different people and some great performances. What was the award show that we went to? The AMAs.
Yes, the American Music Awards.
Yeah. Well, that was like a free concert.
That was amazing. Yep, a few years ago.
I haven't heard from those people. Have you ever heard?
No, I haven't gotten anything recently from them at all.
Maybe they don't do it.
I don't know. Yeah. But that was a really fun experience.
Yeah,
definitely.
I wouldn't be surprised if all that closed up with that company particularly. But anyway.
Yeah,
so who knows? Well, we got to see a lot of interesting people, and that was just with you and I together. What are some really cool Hollywood experiences you've had out here? What are some that come to the top of mind?
Sure. So, well, probably one of the coolest experiences I've ever had was one of my very good friends, who he used to live in Boston, and now he actually lives out here. California is just bringing all the East Coasters to the West Coast. But at the time, he was living in the Boston area, and he was working for a newspaper in Lowell, Massachusetts, which that town might sound familiar because it was where The Fighter took place, which was the movie a few years ago with Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
It was a great movie. And so anyway, my friend got a press pass to go to the Oscar red carpet to try to interview people and get more information about The Fighter, since it took place in Lowell. And he was able to get a second press pass, and he brought me with him. And so we got to walk the red carpet, you know, the day of the Oscars, before all the, you know, big celebrities came out. It wasn't like us and then like Jennifer Lawrence right next to us. But, you know, but we were there, and we got to meet, I have a picture with Tim Gunn, and I got to talk to him for a little bit. And that whole experience, it was just so awesome, because we also got to go, I think, 2 days before when they were doing rehearsals, and, you know, talk and meet people and interview some people. And it was just so cool. And I got to just go with him as like his assistant, if you will.
That blows any of the seat filling away.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome to just be like on the red carpet. And we have, you know, pictures with the Oscar statue and everything, which was so cool. The second part of that story, which was just so, so cool, is I'm really into networking and following up with my connections. And there was an alum who we went to the same college, and she had been working for Oprah for several years. And when I first moved out here, I emailed her because she had given me resume help, and she was just super sweet and helpful. And I just let her know, hey, I got a job and I moved to California and the whole thing. And I didn't hear back from her. And then about 6 months later, so this was around the time of the Oscars, I heard from her, and she said, oh my gosh, I just read your email. It's great to hear from you. And I see you're living in LA now, and we're coming to California with the Oprah Winfrey Show. This was like in her last season to do her Oscar special, her post-Oscar show. Do you and a friend want tickets? So not only did I get to go with this friend and use that press pass with him to like get on the red carpet. But then the next day we got VIP tickets, sat in the fifth row and got to see Oprah's special at, it was then the Kodak Theater, now the Dolby Theater. But we got to be there. Like, it was just so amazing. And then the funniest part of the whole thing is that I have this amazing screenshot, because at one point Oprah came into the audience and there's a camera angle of, I was sitting on the end of this aisle, and there's a shot of her walking down the aisle and she kind of stops and she's talking on the microphone, and me standing in my, you know, where I was sitting, and it looks like it's just the two of us hanging out and talking together. And so I have a screenshot of that. So that, I would say, yeah, so that was probably the coolest experience I've had. And it combined so many things, right? It was like an amazing award show. I mean, Oprah, of course. Yeah. My networking skills of keeping in touch with people. I mean, really, that email took me 2 minutes to write and send to that woman. And look what an amazing opportunity it got me. So I was so thankful for that.
I can't believe you got a response after 6 months.
I know. She just said that she was going through emails and she happened to find my email and you know, saw that I was living in LA now. So that's really the key, like, just to keep in touch with people and, you know, send your regards. And you know, it was really just me thanking her for, like, resume help and letting her know that I'd gotten a job. And it was that simple. And that's what it led to. So I will say, I mean, I've had a lot of cool experiences and, you know, going to different comedy shows. I love comedy. I love live theater. I love concerts, all that kind of stuff. But that experience was by far the coolest thing I'd done since I've moved here. So...
pretty damn
yeah,
cool.
Shout out to my friend Lyle, who I went with.
While you've been out here working in the business, you've been working for a couple of years now. What has been some advice that you've been given that has really kind of helped you through the highs and lows?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say, you know, just like when I was just telling in my Oprah story, just being good at keeping in touch with people. I see a lot of the times when people are new and they start in the company, everyone knows somebody. Everyone, you know, got their job because they know someone who knew someone. You know, there's someone on my team who met and she's new, and she met another coworker at like a bowling event. There was like an alumni event that they went to and they connected. And just through that, like, then my one coworker recommended this girl for a job, and now she's on our team. So it's really, you know, it's hard out there if you're just sending your resume online, right? It kind of goes into this black hole a lot of the times, or people feel that way. I mean, I do meet people sometimes, and they did get their job just from applying online, and that's awesome. But more often than not,
I feel like that's like one out of 10 people.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean,
online.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, in middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and through an alumni connection, right? Someone, you know, ended up getting my job. So I would definitely say just network, just, you know, always be willing to meet new people, reach out to them. I go to a lot of, I'm a Tri Delta, I was in my sorority in college, and I got involved with the alumni group out here. And I go to panels and different discussions. And I can't tell you, I bring a stack of business cards to, you know, those events. And I talk to tons of girls. And one thing I talk about when during the panel is, you know, reaching out and sending a thank you note. And just, you know, even if you're a sophomore and you still have a few years of school to go and you're not like immediately looking for a job, just to kind of get on the person's radar, I think is really important. And I can't tell you like how many people just never reach out and never respond. And I think that it's a missed opportunity, you know, even if they want to go into a different field and they don't want to do exactly what I'm doing. But even just to, you know, I'm happy to look at resumes and give advice to people, because a lot of people helped me do that. And that was, I found that very valuable.
Do you find that rare, though, that people are as willing as you are to help other people here? My experience has been kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, it's encouraged to reach out to them, and then you never hear from them.
So I will say there is totally a range. I mean, of course, I put myself up on a pedestal that I'm very helpful. But Yeah, I mean, I would say you see everything, right? You see people who really genuinely want to help and then people who just don't care. And that's just like the way the world is. But
I notice that as an East Coast, West Coast thing.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like East Coasters working out here are a little bit more prone to writing back, acknowledging it. Where I feel like the quote West Coast flake unquote is kind of a more real, and that's been my experience.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never met people out here who just don't show up for things.
Oh really? You've never met an LA flake?
Everyone's so reliable. Oh, and now the West Coast people listening to this are going to like delete, click out. But no, I will say my one funny thing. I mean, I have to say this now because I'm here, so I can. But my big difference from East Coast to West Coast, what I've seen is like East Coast people won't show up to something because like they're mad at you and it's like their dig, like they're mean intentionally, right? Like there's like beef and there's like drama and that's like the East Coast way. West Coast people just like won't show up for something because it's sunny and they want to go to the beach instead. And it's like they don't even realize that they're being rude and so flaky, true. Right? Yeah. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. It's an intentional versus an unintentional mean
flacation
thing. So that's the difference. And sorry, hopefully I did not offend anyone, but that is true. I mean, that's
I hope I did.
For the rant, of course, but that's the main difference that I've seen in East Coast versus West Coast. But maybe part of it is like if I meet someone out here that's like from the East Coast, I immediately feel an affinity toward them and I want to help. But I am very into the whole pay it forward thing.
Yes.
Because I really feel like, you know, I went to a small school. There wasn't a huge, you know, communications department, entertainment division, right? Like you meet people out here and, you know, they have celebrities come to their classes and give lectures and stuff like that. And I didn't have that. But by working with these people who got into that business, they were so helpful to me. And so if I can, you know, take 15 minutes and like help someone format their resume so it looks better and help them so that they can get an internship out of college, because I get it. It's hard. It's a tough business. You know, I'm a big proponent in getting an actual job and starting a career so you can pay off your student loan, which I'm about halfway done doing, which I'm very excited about. But, you know, I am really into paying it forward. That's like my thing and what I hope to do. So I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority with that, but I'm going to keep doing it. Right. So, if you hear me at a panel and I say, email me, and you don't, I'll be disappointed.
Well, where can people reach out to if they're interested in hearing more or have some questions? You know, we touched upon a lot of things.
Sure. Yeah. So people can search for me. I'm on Facebook. If they want to send me a private message and just reach out and let me know that they, you know, heard me on Grant's Rants. Mm-hmm. Or LinkedIn. I'm also happy to connect with people on LinkedIn. Should I spell my name?
Well, I'll put all of your information surrounding this episode on iTunes
and
information below.
Yeah, so people can definitely reach out. That's no problem at all. I'm always happy to help and connect with people.
Well, Marie, I think we talked about everything from Toy Story 4 to Ashley Madison to Oprah.
Everything.
And the orange Oprah. We even covered that
one. We covered Dina, so we're all set.
We're good.
Yes.
We're good. Thank you for ranting with me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you. So much more ranting to come. Keep subscribing and supporting the show. I appreciate every subscription and look out for more.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Ronay. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions 2015.